I'm still waiting for my intro.
Oh, am I supposed to do it?
God damn it, Rory.
Here we go.
Let's do this! Yeah!
Scratched. Hello, boys and girls and scratchers of all ages, and welcome to yet another episode of Scratched. This week, things get a little lizardly. Is that a word? It's a word now. We welcome our good buddy Rory May as our special co-host this week, and let's see how weird things get.
You never heard the Dirty Smith intro?
I don't know if I've heard the Dirty Smith intro.
You have the, you know, the thing that you do.
Oh, the
dance monkey dance.
Guys are hardcore. Let me kick back. Drink some beer, the devil's lettuce, have a good time. Dance, Rory! Dance!
What are you drinking?
What am I drinking?
Yeah.
Good old orange juice.
Well, you're just hardcore tonight.
Yeah, so, you know, it was apple juice last night, but I had to mix it up.
Orange juice burns a hole in my stomach real bad. I can hear it splash. I can feel it hit the bottom of my stomach when I drink it, like, torpedo.
I enjoyed the TLC messages. That were message. It's nice. Nice touch before the show.
Doing what I could.
I'm still waiting for my intro.
Oh, am I supposed to do it?
God damn it, Rory.
Here we go.
Let's do this! Yeah!
That's perfect.
So I got to put that right at the beginning of the episode, right?
Yeah.
Forged 500-pound chandeliers. Oh, that's fine. Out of big out-of-state installs. Ah, no problem. All right, do the intro. It's priceless.
Do it.
We need it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, if you're looking for maker cred here, I don't know who told you you were going to get any of that, but this is actually the opposite. This is like, oh, those dudes? Really?
Oh, man.
Yeah. You
Things must be bad in Colorado.
All right, so I've been thinking about you all day.
I like to hear that. And I have one rule though. Just whatever happens, whatever we do, no eye contact.
Oh man,
a good rule right. Always.
So, grocery stores too.
Who named you? Your father or mother?
I believe my mother, and as the story goes, they were debating for months about my name, and she saw the name on a credit for a movie, and she yelled, "How about Rory?" And Dad said, "Yeah, sure," because I think he was tired of arguing with her, and then that was that.
What was the movie?
I don't remember.
Damn it. It wasn't like, man, because then your name could have been like Lexington or something like that.
Not really.
Did they have a name picked out? If you would have ended up being a girl, or had they already figured out that a boy was on the way?
They were confident that, yeah, I was going to be a boy.
They just felt it?
Yeah.
Because
my imposter.
My parents had, I was either going to be a Brian or a Brianna.
You could still make a good Brianna.
Yeah, I could take it.
What?
We could break the rule for that one.
All right, so.
With eye contact.
Growing up, and once you hit middle school and high school, and kids are pricks, and they tease everybody, how much shit, if any, did you get about your name?
For the last name being May?
No, the first Rory? Name being Rory.
Oh, I got teased more about May.
Really?
Yeah.
Do tell.
It'd be, you know, May you what?
Clever. Some clever kids.
So that turned out to be a kick your ass. And then, oh, crap. Calm down, Rory. Or I would get teased because there was a girl in school. Her name was April. And dear April had a crush on me. And I'm thinking, girl, this isn't going to work out. There's no way you're going to be called April May. That's just not going to happen. But no, actually, people want to correct it. They want to call me Roy instead of Rory. They always think my name is misspelled.
When I first saw your name, I thought it was perfectly reasonable, frankly, because there was a band in the 60s in England called Rory Storm and the Hurricane.
There you go. That's gonna play well to our crowd.
But who else was expecting 80s to come out of Eloy's mouth and not 60s when he's...
What's up, Agnes? How you doing tonight? The one like lady listening. She's got one of those horns to her ear. Remember that you see the old style listening device?
Ryan, did you get any shit for your last name?
Yes. But I don't remember like any like play on the name or anything. Just, oh, are you bitter? You know.
Stuff. That's like me, bales of hay. That's what they would call me. Right. Oh, how insulting, bales of hay. What about you, Eloy?
No, not at all. Believe it or not, not at all. It's just they might call me Elroy, Leroy, Eli, but no. You got to remember we're in Florida and we're in Miami, so a lot of the first names and last names are all Spanish, so it's all convoluted anyhow. There's strange names left and right all over the place here, so it's like you get lost in the shuffle. Yeah. So no issues with the name there.
Well, how about slaughtering of your last name? That must happen all the time.
Oh, yeah, and spelling and pronunciation and all sorts of stuff. But, like, a few of the cats that we talked to, like Harju, how do you? Well, a lot of the cats, everybody has an issue, you know, with those complicated, you know, non-traditional standard names. So, yeah. But I give up. I just, whatever, you know, I let it roll.
You got to. What else are you going to do? Be the guy that corrects people? Actually, it's pronounced Escajedo.
I know.
Hey. Hey, doe. I don't know why I went to Uber white guy voice, but that's what it did. I would imagine that's who you would be explaining it to. It's Escajedo.
You got to put your glasses up on your nose and you say that, dog. Yeah.
So, Eloy, if you were born a woman, what was your name going to be?
Eliza Milani. Milani. Well, what's her?
Alyssa Milano.
I'd be Alyssa Milano.
Eloy's the boss.
Yeah. And I would, and I'd be a slut.
Do tell.
And then no, we're not going. We found down out we could twerk.
We're not going down that road.
I just like how you know. Like, look, I don't know much about how things would be if I was a woman, but I would definitely spread it around. That's what I know. I would definitely be pretty morally casual about what's going on. So. I've got that going for me, which is nice.
No, dude, you read too much. No, dude, you read too much into that shit.
You said you were going to be a slut.
A creative slut.
Oh, a slut for creativity. Excuse me.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I retract my previous statement of sluttiness for creative sluttiness, which is something that Eliza just made up.
Did you just call him Elijah?
Eliza.
Alyssa Moulin
Rouge. What was her name? That's what I'm going to do from now on. I'm going to bring somebody up, and then just every time I try to reference her in the story, be like, what? What was her name again? Who's that? Is that the Salt and Pepper episodes? Pepper and Spice?
Did you guys, for preparation H of this podcast, take any questions? Or because I heard you guys like a week or a few days ago.
That was like a couple of hours ago, Eloy.
Oh, okay.
We were trying to come up with topics because we didn't want to fumble all over ourselves like a couple of 13-year-old boys.
Right, we're going for 16.
That's a horrible scenario.
We're going for 15 tonight. Got our shit together.
Well, that's good.
Get our iPad synced.
Rory, what's going on, dude?
What's up?
We're glad to have you here on the show, dude.
Well, I'm happy to be here. I was hoping I was going to be able to audition for the Bangers.
Okay, what's that reference? Because that's like, what?
it's the Beaters.
Oh, the Beaters. Oh,
the Beaters.
I get my bands mixed up.
It's okay. We got so much stuff going on. Who could keep
going? The Bangers are the groupies, Rory.
I'd be a bangee, I think.
Whoa. I forgot that we switched from being Dingle and the Berries to being the Beaters.
The Beaters. Also the 107ers.
I'm sure we'll go by many names.
The something 107. I don't know. We'll come. We'll figure it out. It's ever evolving. Ever evolving. That's what's important. Never stagnant.
Hey, Rory, being in Colorado, can you walk into a grocery store and just buy edibles these days?
No, you have to go to a shop and specifically a pot shop and then determine if they're just medical or medical recreational or just recreational.
That's all.
But you can buy they have the they kind of mix it as far as the grocery store, you know, the things made out of hemp. So they kind of put that on the front shelf since it's currently pretty trendy.
Hemp?
Oh, so they have like bags and stuff like that?
The pot shops?
Yeah. No, they don't. They just have pot.
Oh, they have that, and they have wax, and then they have the oils, and then they have the pain relieving cream, and then some edibles and some drinks. And
yeah. What does one do with marijuana wax?
What is it? Is it wax? They can cook it in such a way and get a glass like substance that's really concentrate, and you can smoke that instead of the flower.
Oh, cool. I wonder if you could like buff like would turn project with the stuff.
You know how expensive the table would be?
But just imagine, that's a selling point. You could sell it across, they can smoke the
$10,000 end table.
This is coated with a wonderful weed wax.
You're like chewing on it.
Yeah.
It's a great table.
Yeah, when we can't hook up, man, we just lick the table for a while. It's pretty good.
Lick.
Stop licking my table.
Yeah. So I came that. Yeah, my new roommate is a real jerk. I came in the other day and him and his girlfriend were licking my table.
Oh, mine were licking the same spot. It's disgusting.
Oh. That was gross.
They said it was soul food or something. I don't know. Damn hippies.
So are they like, are those weed dispensaries like everywhere out there? Or is it just overblown in our minds because we don't live around there?
It's from my perspective, it is most concentrated in city and county of Denver. And then as you move away from Denver, they kind of get a little bit more dispersed.
So it's like a Starbucks on every corner in Denver.
Have you noticed any end of the world? They were talking about the world would end if that sort of thing were legal, allowed openly. Has Denver collapsed into the ashes of nothingness? Tell me.
I think everything's been okay.
Okay.
I didn't realize it was just dispensaries. I thought it'd be like artisan bakeries.
Oh.
Doing all the edibles and the breads and maybe like a freaking weird ass coffee shop that brews it all into their brews.
Because currently it's not federally legal. Hello? Yeah. They have to jump through a lot of hoops to have a store and a waiting period and some big money and investment, especially if they're growing and they're selling. Cash. Some shops just purchase out from other shops and then have their own kind of setup going on. So if you have a dispensary, I guess advice is try to find one that grows their own.
Is there an anti-hippie sort of people there, anti-drug, anti-this, that are trying to push against at this late hour?
From what I have seen, I'm going to sound such like I'm going to be a dick.
Do it.
The hardcore Christian.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah, they start writing that and really skew the stats and trying to making it worse than really what it is.
Like the Bible thumpers that used to stand out in front of the Marilyn Manson concerts.
Right. Handing out Bibles.
You know what? Marilyn Manson is Satan. I don't know what you're talking
it's
about.
It's getting harder and harder for those folk to find things to protest these days with people not leaving their houses because of the Amazon.
Shit.
You know, you could just do anything. It's like, man, people aren't leaving the house anymore. What are we going to do? Protest outside the Applebee's? God hates fat people.
Got to be door-to-door protesters.
Question right now. How many genders are there? 2 or 28?
Not 28.
29. Yeah. Miscounted.
Is reptilian a gender?
Yes.
Okay.
4. 10.
But the grays. The grays.
There are 107 genders.
107.
Yeah. The grays are genetically created, so they don't need to reproduce.
Next
topic.
Which actually makes me think of one thing. Rory, I need to know, because this is a rare situation. What do you think about the reptilian agenda?
This would be like if Eloy got like an exclusive interview with John Lennon and he would be like, so, what do you think about the reptilians?
Well, I don't know. I haven't met one.
See, that's disturbing, Rory, because people that deny the reptilian agenda oftentimes are aware or either are or concealing families of reptilians in their local areas. I want to know, as a fact, where you stand. Should we allow the reptilians or not?
I don't know, sir.
He didn't deny the existence. He said he'd never met one.
This is but still, this is very suspicious.
And now you're accusing him of hiding Anne Frank the reptile in his freaking attic.
And is it not true, sir, that you did not deny, sir, going forward, that you were harboring?
No, the problem is, Rory, that I've been trying to push the reptilian conversation because I want to, just like the movie They Live, I want those glass. I want to know who is part of, like, Bales is suspicious as F.
Ding!
As me, because I suspect strongly, and Ryan, I don't know, Ryan could be a double agent for the reptilians. Doc is not, okay? I could tell, but
why does Doc just get so easily dismissed from this?
Because I'm from my own planet, bitches.
But Bales, I
planet
do
believe, beard.
No, Bales has a reptilian agenda.
Well, if we're being observing of everyone else, I got to look at the squeakiest wheel, and I'm kind of wondering about you, Eloy, if you're reptilian and looking for a family to find safe harbor in.
Yeah, you're not hiding them. You are them. Good point, Rory.
Fighting the good fight against the reptilian agenda for years now.
That's what a reptile would say.
Yeah, deflecting pretty hard with previous victorious wars that we don't know anything about.
This is like some alien Cold War stuff he's going on right now. He's pretending to be American. He's like talking to the mothership. He's like, I've grown a beard. And you know what? I bet Vigo is actually the one.
The thing is,
Eloy's just no. Eloy's just this distraction technique.
Yeah, and the reptilians they canceled their Columbia House subscription at the end of the 80s, and that's why you only know 80s.
Let me explain to the folks out there. Listen, there's this conspiracy that throughout history, there's reptiles carved into rocks and books, even in North American Indian tribes and in India itself. All through China, etc., they connect with the dragons that they use and the armor and all that. So the top elite in this conspiracy are reptiles, and they breed and intermix with humans. And the pure lizard people, reptiles, actually have the ability to shapeshift. This is an actual ongoing decades and decades and beyond thing. So I need to suss it out and know who is who, and Bales to me is a suspicious one here.
Hey, wait, ready?
Let's do this.
But everyone here is suspicious of you.
That's my final statement.
Because you're all reptiles.
Except for me.
But do reptiles like chowder? That would be the telltale sign, wouldn't it?
I would say yes.
I would too.
I would say reptile would eat a clam, therefore reptile would eat clam chowder.
They will not eat a clam. And by the way,
reptilian
would know that.
I'm revoking your status as non-reptilian right now for that comment.
Whatever. Oh, no, please don't put me in your fake box. Okay.
No, you can't discount. See, Rory, this is the problem that we've
always... Wait, time out.
The show.
A reptile would need a clam?
What's that?
A reptile would need a clam?
Who? Liv Tyler?
A reptile.
Oh.
Like, I'm not talking about, like, a little, like...
No, dude, they're in the sea, right. And reptiles are freaking in deserts and freaking... No, dude. Clam.
What about a Komodo dragon?
All right, I haven't studied that.
What about a potato?
Dude, see, Rory, this is the problem. They want a god.
This is about food right now. I'm all about the chowder.
Throughout our history here on the show, they want to block They Live. They want to block the reptilian agenda. Bales is open, kind of, sort of, to the Greys and the Anunnaki. Ryan Bitters doesn't know what the heck to make of it because it's all foolishness. And Doc just wants to look. He wants to beat you and toss you and not allow for the truth to come out. But we're here to tell people out there that the reptilians are coming after you.
I want to beat you?
With eye contact.
Well, I'll look someone in the eye.
You're gonna have to forgive them for the way they've been behaving.
I don't know what we're talking about right now.
Anyway, but what about the sun in the middle of the earth?
Uh-huh. I knew I could draw something from Roar. Yes, good. What about it?
Is it there?
I'm with you 100%, dude.
Yeah?
You mean the sun is inside the earth?
Yeah, there's a second sun inside the earth.
Underneath the crust and the lava?
And there's a whole big world under there.
Which is why your reptiles went there during the Ice Age to survive.
No, the reptiles came from space, from Carcanius 9.
Can someone send me a link?
Right, is this a thing? The sun in the center of the earth?
Yeah, with the middle of the earth.
The thing people like are into?
Is this flat earthers?
No, it's Vernians, Jules Verne.
You can get there through the pyramids.
Journey to the center of the earth.
North Pole, the South Pole, some Mayan temples I've heard.
From the ruins of Chichen Itza.
There you go.
I was there. Spell it. Wrong every time.
Machu Picchu?
Or the Three Stooges, anytime they'd have a spelling thing like that, Mo would go big. Yeah, that's it. Write it down. How do you spell that? Like, that's it. Write it down.
My position is simple. There are things that we're not aware about. We can't just disqualify a thing just because it sounds silly. So you just mentioned the sun in the center of the earth. Who knows? Maybe there's a sun in the center of the earth. Is it probable? I don't know. I don't think so. But maybe there's something we don't. Maybe there's a freaking sun. And who lives down there, though?
I guess the giant people.
Oh, crap. I like that one.
I think we should start a war.
Well, we got to find the giant people. Actually, you know what? It's funny because there's actual giant people or bones of giants scattered throughout the world, and their fossils are found. That's actually a thing.
That hasn't been proven, actually.
No?
I knew it. I knew Bale was totally into this.
Eli, I think we're reading the same magazine, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's YouTube.
I need a subscription and then a prescription at the same time for whatever. I'll take what he's having.
I want to hear more about Rory's war.
Right. I was going to say he skipped right over research and
yeah.
he's like,
let's start a war. Well, let's study them after they're dead and learn about them later. I mean,
yeah.
That's real estate down there. There could be oil down there. We got some fracking to do.
So we're attacking the people in the center of the world. And what's our plan here? What's our strategy?
World dominance. We already got half of it.
But are you making all the weapons? I mean, how are we going about this?
It'd be a global effort. We'd be finally won. I'm waiting for Eloy to jump in about government and the planet Earth is a civilization, but he's not taking the bait. So we have to keep talking about war and I keep rambling because someone's going to interrupt me.
Dude, we can't even decide on whether to go to Burger King or McDonald's as a civilization.
Is this a tactic to arm these people?
I think he's just trying to get more business.
Are you trying to arm these, making swords and we have to declare war on the
orcs.
Well, only kill him with an axe.
I can explain.
From a forge, kind of in my shop. So
I can explain. Everyone thinks, why are you doing this zombie weapon contest? There's going to be a day. I need my army.
R&D, baby. R&D.
Okay, so now that's...
And then everyone's going to be like, oh, Rory, help. And I'll be like, no.
No, man.
You were mean in the comments. Look.
I can get behind that zombie thing, though. That's a badass freaking situation. You know, I love that theme, you know, just entertainment-wise, and who knows?
Oh, you know? That's entertainment. That's just... There's not no fact in that.
No, the other stuff, yeah, but not this.
You suck.
Guys, stop fighting, you guys.
I feel sad.
Yeah, Mom and Dad are fighting again.
Pre-order your Rory May zombie weapon now.
Operators are standing by.
All right, so I want to know, what is it like to work with your father? And I think not only Rory, but Brian, you work with your father too, right?
I do indeed.
All right, well, story time. Hit me up.
Brian, you go first.
It's a good time of getting your balls busted.
Yeah, exactly. Shit. You're talking about having a constant troll on your shoulder telling you how you're doing it wrong and need to hurry up and get it done now. That's dad.
Sounds exactly right.
All right. We share the same pain there.
Yeah. Your question's answered, Bales. Move on.
Wait. Give him the second part to that. Give him some... What are the redeeming parts of it? Because the ball busting is one aspect. Are there any pros to the thing as far as that.
Yeah, because I've spent like all these years thinking, man, it would be really great if I could work with my father on a project or if we had similar interests. And now you're just telling me that it would suck.
Oh, no, it's ball busting in a good way.
Oh, okay.
Like, I don't know.
There's eye contact, you know.
That makes it
unless he's mad, then there's no eye contact. But redeeming quality or redeeming things about it?
Yeah, good, like a good thing, good stuff about it, which is another way of saying redeeming.
He probably won't fire you.
For me, yeah. For me, it's freedom, I guess. I get a little bit more freedom working with my dad than I would, say, working in a factory or something like that, where you're set to a schedule.
Do you ever get an attaboy, or are you just always coming up a little short?
You know, when I started working with him when I was younger, because it was, you know, kind of learning then, but now, like, every once in a while, I'll give him an idea or something, or I'll find a solution to something, and then you get kind of that, you know, that little boy, you have that little boy feeling where you're like, oh, dad liked my idea. Holy crap. That never happens.
That's awesome, dude.
But yeah, it's more like that. That happens more often now than it used to.
So he doesn't actually say that he likes your idea, but he uses it and that's enough?
No, he's like, oh, it's a good idea.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You're like, all right.
Yeah, that's awesome. Rory?
My dad, how can I say this? He's a fair man and obviously has a business to run and a clientele to please. So the high expectations were there. I knew what I was getting into. At the time when I started working and as much as possible at the shop with dad, I was 15. It's because stole a dump truck and took it for a joyride and got busted by the cops and had to pay him back a debt for the damage I did to the shed when I ran it over with the dump truck as well. Oh, wow. So walking into the shop, there was already six, you know, 35, 50 year old iron worker men. And not only was I the youngest, I was the boss's kid, and there wasn't a damn thing I could do about any kind of teasing or taunting or getting made fun of and, you know, really doing all the crap work as well. But as time went on, yeah, it was hard. Yeah, it was difficult in hitting his standard, because every time we'd hit that standard, he would raise the bar a little bit. And then once you hit that quality, then it was about time and efficiency and technique. And, you know, time is money. We need to get this done ASAP. And I kind of appreciate the coarseness of his teaching and stuff. The compliments, yeah, they're, you know, who wouldn't like more compliments? But at the same time, I don't want to be patted on the head for every little thing I do. You know, the work speaks for itself. I know it's good and they're happy. And I know, you know, with my dad, if there was a problem, he definitely would say something. So it's not easy by any means, but I probably find it more rewarding than if I had attempted the same career with a different blacksmith.
And how about your does your dad know about your channel and the craziness that you do? What does he think about that?
When I first started, he thought it was just another stupid idea that I had. And then when the audience started kind of growing and it started getting some foundation underneath it, it actually got his interest about what was I doing and how was I doing it. But I think I had to prove that there was something there before he would bite.
Awesome, dude.
I'd like to see that man on camera because he sounds fun.
Yeah, he's very blunt.
I would love to hear... This is what I think about all the time when I see your father doing stuff. I would love to hear his actual thoughts about some of like the stuff actually going on the air quote smithing pages on the internet. You know what I mean? Like,
I can tell you what he thinks about that.
Oh, but I want to hear it right out of his mouth.
Yeah,
I
mean,
when people say smithing instead of forging, you mean?
Just whatever. Like all this new wave stuff that's
and,
going.
And then ask him about the reptilian.
Is there a name for this? What's going on now with this resurgence?
If, from his opinion,
yeah. Well, whatever. I don't know what to call it. Is research? We'll call it a resurgence. And
yeah, sure. Yeah, this new almost rebirthing of the craft, and what my dad calls that calls
yeah.
them.
Yeah. What? Come on. Let's hear it.
Bunch of dumbasses. And I have no opinion. There's six different ways to do it. My opinion, I don't care. If you have the intention and you execute it and it's done, game over. I show my dad this stuff. Why the hell is he using that to do? Who is this? Where are they? Ohio? I think I know them. I think I might actually know that person. Starts going off on rants.
He sounds awesome.
Yeah, it sounds great.
You know, some of the best or my favorite YouTube videos that I saw was when David Welder was working on a project with his father.
Yeah, dude, me too. Yeah.
Because they, I don't know, it was, maybe it's because I never worked with my father because he really didn't give a shit. Because he didn't like to do anything. He was a computer programmer. And then he didn't want to do anything else. He wasn't into hobbies. But some of those videos where you're learning, you're seeing this guy make that copper standing seam roof.
Yeah.
That awesome. I'd love to see that with Craig.
It's funny. Sometimes, you know, there's been a few instances where I completely agree with Bales.
Yeah, like, it's very few.
Yeah, it's very few. But it when it does happen, it's magic.
So you guys haven't seen the video, I'm guessing.
What video?
The one of my father and I.
No.
Nope.
Have one?
It was like one of the first ones.
Oh, well, sorry.
All right.
I just started watching it. No, I'm lying. I'll check it out later.
Yeah, I'll find the link.
I want to know, so you call your father by his first name. If I did that to my father, he would probably smack me in the mouth.
That is for a couple of reasons. Being the youngest guy for a very long time in the shop, if you go up to him and you say, "Hey, Dad, what am I doing today?"
Oh.
I got these grown guys with beards
Yipper.
Staring at me going, "Okay." Yeah. And then that follows me. So
wait a second.
And also, if I yell "Dad" across the shop, he doesn't hear me. He hears Craig.
Correct. No, but
wait a second. What did what was that show, Wes, the Chopper show and stuff?
American Choppers?
Yeah. I mean, the guy did... Yeah. Poppy, you know,
and that's why, it was so dramatic. That's why I refer to my father. I mean, if it's just him and I in like close quarters talking to each other, I'll be like, you know, "Hey, Dad, you want a drink, man?"
Oh, yeah, totally.
But if we're out in public or I'm speaking about him, I always call him by his first name.
Right.
Because it's the same thing. I did two turns with him in the steel mill, two summers. It was the same thing. If I walked around and I was like, "Hey, Dad, could you come over here," and they'd be like, "Oh, you need your daddy to come,
papa." Yeah, I came to that realization the first time I actually worked with my dad was in a warehouse, and he was the head over like all the lift drivers, forklift drivers, and I was one of the forklift drivers. And the first day, I had to we had to wear radios, and I had to radio him in something, and I was like, "Hey, oh shoot, I can't say that."
You know? Exactly.
So yeah, I got used to calling him by his first name.
And then we're also talking to clients, and sometimes I found it distracting with them. If I talked to them about Dad, it didn't give me any authority on the opinion because that reinforced that I was the kid.
Do you like being introduced to people? Like if he introduces you to someone, says, "This is my son," like in a work setting or a business setting?
Totally. I think that especially if we're trying to buy the job, and we'll start throwing the family card in there to get with their heartstrings to get them to give us money, basically. But yeah.
Good point. Say my dad does it.
I don't care. Call me whatever you want.
Yeah. See, my dad does it, and I get what you're saying, definitely. And then the part of me is like, well, he's so experienced at it, way more than I am. I don't want those expectations placed on me when I have to go out and do a job on my own. But I get what you're saying.
Ryan, when your dad ends up retiring, are you going to take over the business? You're just going to smooth transition?
Yeah.
Okay. Same with you, Rory?
Yet to be determined.
TBD.
Yeah.
See, now I have the exact opposite relationship with my dad. Like, my dad holds the flashlight, and it has for a long time. Whenever we needed to do anything, he'd be like, "What do you think?" "Well, I don't know." My grandfather did everything, and then when he passed, it was like, "Well, you know better than I do, so here, you hold the screwdriver. Why am I doing this?"
That's what my dad getting older is getting to that point where it's like, "You go do this, because I'm not going up the ladder. I'm not getting in the crawl space."
Yeah.
Frick, all right.
Yeah. That's why I'm training my son to do stuff like that now at 6, you know, not training, but, you know, making sure he knows how to use a screwdriver. And,
Sure he knows where the beer fridge is and how to get one.
Correct. All the important things. for me, beer's for me. He can't get any for himself.
Oh, he doesn't get like the one quick little half pull off it for delivering?
I had that.
I'm sure he may. I can't confirm or deny that at this time.
Heineken's green. It's safe.
I like that logic.
Michelob Ultra. It's not going to kill you, right, Ryan?
Gosh,
it's might.
Just Jaeger. It's green. It's okay.
Yeah, green bottle. It's fine.
Take a big old swig.
Yeah, first one's on me, son.
You know, Rusty, I remember when I was your age, my dad shared a beer with me, and I thought it was just about the greatest thing in the world.
You caught me off guard, man, because that's my dad's name.
Yeah.
No, that's my grandfather's name.
National
Lampoon.
National Lampoon's when he's sitting on the hood and Rusty just chugs the whole beer down. Chevy Chase is just going on and on and on. I mean, he just hammers the beer down and then he hands it back to him and takes like no sip. Good talk, Russ.
Rory, how does a young kid learn to drive a dump truck?
George,
I don't like it.
I mean, those are
main one.
Those are manual, right? It's like four on the floor, heavy duty driving. How do you do that?
So, we were on our way to ride. I grew up in a really small mountain town, and we had a very large mountain in the backyard. Grew up on riding horses. These are dad's horses, and our goal was to ride these horses to the top of the mountain. So on our way, we're trespassing through people's properties and going over some little hills. And we come over one hill and we see the beginnings of a dump site, a trash collection site. So they had a little pile of mattresses, couches, what have you, in this dump truck. So my friend goes, I want to go check that out. Let's go down there. You know, nobody's there. Okay, no problem. Right down the little hill, screwing around, looking at stuff. I go to the dump truck and I go to the door and the door opens up. And being the mountain town raised kid I am, usually it's for convenience, so that probably means the key's in there. Sure enough, we found the key and started this thing up, big diesel machine like you're talking about, and had a clutch, but we couldn't press it down. It took both of us to stand on this clutch to push it down, and my friend would slam the gas, and we started popping this clutch to get this dump truck to move forward. And burning clutch, like terrible, you can smell it. Drove it around some circles, and then we were going to leave it parked at the entrance with the keys on the little bulldog hood ornament as a joke.
Oh, man.
So we do that, and I got the horses. My friend says, you know what? I want to run that shed over. And there was this little tough shed on some pallets in the corner of the lot.
Holy, like, dude, you guys were evil, dude.
This was him.
No, for the most part. You're part of this crime, dude. Dude, you guys are evil.
Totally. So I grab dad's horses. I go to the top of the hill. Friend hits it reverse. And thank God nobody was in that shed because it slid off the pallets and then hit the corner. And the whole thing just exploded, just like cracked in half. And just papers and wood just went everywhere. And yeah, we rode away and off in the sunset back home like some cowboys. And then later that night, the cops basically followed the tracks home, the horse tracks back to the house. The cops are telling my parents what happened and what they think happened. And my dad is just like, he's doing that stare. Like he can see right through your soul. He goes, I need a moment with Rory. So we go in the living room. What happened? Tell him the whole story. And he said, okay, well, you messed up. You got caught too. And you got to make it right. And said, I'll pay for it, but you got to pay it off. And you need to get a job, something, but you owe me this.
Smokes, dude. So, what a great story.
Well, when we went to court to get that figured out, the judge had just dealt with two juvies who didn't care about what happened. So he's asking them, you have, you know, choice A and choice B. And they're just like, well, I don't know. And since they won't answer, he just put them back into the juvie center and rescheduled another court date. So by the time we got up there, this judge was already
pissed,
kind of in a mood.
Yeah.
And both our parents spoke up because we're 15. I mean, you know, still, getting the car and, you know, all the excitement about turning 16 and all that. Spoke for us, you know, brought the report cards. We could prove like we were good kids. We got decent grades. And he said, you know, give us a year of probation, help the guy clean the mess up, and don't get in trouble through the rest of your teens. You know, being 18, they'll expunge the charges.
Did you have to go and see the guy that you did the damage to?
Oh, yeah.
And what was his, I mean?
He was a nice guy. His dad, who also ran the business, wanted to hang us by our balls, and I can't really blame him.
Looking back, and even at that point, right? Even then, you realized, man, I screwed up.
Oh, life was over.
But you blamed your buddy more than yourself.
Today I do, yeah.
So you really didn't know how to drive a dumb truck. You just slammed those gears.
Yeah, we pound them to grind them till you find them.
Oh, man.
Yeah, grind me a pound while you're at it.
That's a freaking great story, dude.
Yeah, it was.
Well, that was, and you know, and so that put me in the shop full time. Anytime I was there, or dad was there, I was there. And that really was the foundation of what started him teaching me how to build and think backwards when you're making things and forging. And it was just a evolution. You know, I didn't know at that time by doing that dump truck thing, that was actually kind of a very important part. Because if I didn't do that, would I have been caught in the family business?
Did you want to learn all that stuff before that?
It was interesting. Dad had a forge set up for me and I could screw around on it. And, you know, by the time I was 10, I was kind of getting a little bit bored because he taught me stick welding and oxyacetylene cutting and then started introducing the forging. So we designed a fireplace tool set, and then, you know, that took all summer. It was a lot of hard work, a lot of planning, and, you know, but at the same time, mountain town, everybody's dad did something. If it was woodworking or they're trying some metalworking or shoeing horses or what have you. So for me, it wasn't so much out of the norm of like, this was like a rare opportunity. This was just my dad's a metalworker.
For sure.
You know, and with that said too, I did get a degree in 3D animation, trying to get out to see if I could. And, was focusing on conceptual art. And then that was 2007. So I was full-time at college, part-time at shop as much as I could. And recession hit, and conceptual artists in the gaming and entertainment industry was like nowhere. Yeah. And guys like me were a dime a dozen because new talent was always coming out, always willing to work cheaper and work harder and work faster, which the studio houses need those concepts, use those renderings. So tried it for a year, got offered a job to work for a children's educational company in Detroit for $20,000 a year. And I was like, no. And I sat down with my dad and I said, all right, your website sucks. Your photography is mediocre. Your branding is terrible. Let me do everything I went to school for and help you with the business. But I also want to be more involved in the shop. I want to talk to clients. I want to do layouts. I want to take field notes. I want to be there for the meeting. So here we are 10 years later. Worked out pretty good.
Nice.
Yeah.
Damn, dude. You should have saved that for the Mad Maker show.
That show sucks.
Has it even had bales on yet?
I don't do anything anymore.
Neither do I. I was there.
That's true.
That's why we need you on.
So, Rory, you were looking to... What were you looking to do? What was your dream job?
When I was a kid?
Well, you went to, like, what, animator? Were you trying to do digital animation, digital artists?
The technical, it's called media arts. So yeah. Inside of the program of media arts, you had animation, you had illustration, you had graphic design, you had branding, a little bit of business and marketing kind of mixed in there. So when they had us graduate, we had multiple skills. My dream job at the time was, like, just rendering up these concepts of grand landscapes and monsters and creatures and, you know, the things for Fallout 4 and...
Oh, so all digital.
Yeah, you know, so Wacom tablets and Adobe Photoshop and digital painting and speed painting and studying and, you know, and all of that actually kind of translated into the blacksmithing as far as designing and observing how things look and how light work.
Somebody brought up the scenario of being on a desert island and only having the choice of two different CDs to play on your tape player. And we concluded
and CDs and tape right. players.
Is the bike still there?
Yeah.
Okay. That's good. We're going to do that.
Well, we came to the conclusion that we'd want the TLC album for viewing pleasure later on. So my question is, Rory, you're a 90s kid, right?
Late, like 95, 2006. So that's
okay. And Doc is, and you guys are 80s, Bales and Eloy. So I think Bales was really high on Left Eye for some reason.
Bales a traitor to the 80s.
It's the only one I can remember.
Okay, but
she was
what...
important to the group. She wrote a lot of the song, and she also designed their outfit.
Wow, you're well informed.
Jesus.
Bringing okay. it.
Guy gets curious. Look at
an official autobiography.
That's the thing, because when you think of it, you think of her. We don't even know what TNC mean. We're just like Left Eye. That's it. Boom. Okay, so what's up? What albums?
I bet no albums. I was wondering what is the one girl from the 90s or the 80s that was your girl? You know,
Carmen
what I mean?
Electra.
And then on the walls in poster form, I take it.
Well, it was Carmen Electra, and then you know, depending on
she's a reptilian.
Jenny McCarthy. They were kind of the rotations. I think a lot of it was from Singled Out.
Oh yeah.
Those were them. A little bit of Xena. Sprinkle some Xena in there.
Oh.
Leather
Warrior. Warrior Princess.
Oh, Leather Warrior Princess. I like that.
No, I was going to say Heather, but I said Leather. Heather Locklear. I said Leather Locklear.
Come on, Eloy, who was on your wall?
TJ Hooker style?
Oh, on my wall, I actually had posters of chicks. Dude. There were two posters. There were like four chicks with their butts in bikinis sitting on bicycles. And that was on my wall next to my bed. And then on the door, it went through different. I had the doors on there and stuff. But I also had a babe. Boy, Samantha Fox, I think it was. But at any given time, we used to cover our walls with rock and roll, heavy metal posters and magazine cutouts. And we'd cover all our walls, even the ceiling. It was like completely covered in rock and roll. And that's how we lived.
That's funny. I remember having a Yasmin Bleeth poster on my ceiling and my mom coming in like a couple days after I hung it and being, she was like, don't act like I don't know why that's up there.
Damn! Like, damn it, mom.
That's rough, dude. That's like, you know.
Yeah.
What was it up there for, though? Can you elaborate?
My viewing pleasure, obviously.
It's a meditation technique.
Yeah, target
you have to focus on some heavy breathing.
Oh, there was heavy breathing.
I got my beard.
My walls were covered in freaking Motley Crue and Kiss posters.
I knew it.
So there was some girls on your wall.
I had a thing for Alyssa Milano.
Yeah. Oh.
Amen, sir.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And it might have been Samantha Fox. Who was the chick in the Sam Kinison video, Wild Thing? Horrible song, great video of a woman writhing on the floor. Was dude, that Samantha Fox?
Dude, I haven't seen that in a long time. It could be.
Remember the old White Snake videos?
Yes.
Rolling around on the
that was not Samantha Fox. That was wife. That was Coverdale's wife.
So I'm gonna go with Alyssa.
Tiny Catane.
Yeah, but I'll stick with Alyssa Milano.
Not bad.
I also would like to stand tall for Alyssa Milano. She was the boss. And then
could have been my boss.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of.
Can I switch from Heather Locklear to that one?
No. Oh, Jessica Hahn was the girl in the Wild Thing video.
That name sounds familiar.
I wasn't thinking about her name. I wasn't shooting for a poster on my ceiling either.
She's like a Wookiee.
Yeah, it's just...
That's funny.
Wow. Wait a second. That poster on your ceiling, that's a hot mess at one at the end of the...
What?
That poster, how freaking... Did that poster... I mean, when did you take that poster down, honestly?
Well, I don't know.
You kept it even though your mom said, hey, don't lie to me.
Well, if I took it down, wouldn't I have been admitting guilt?
Oh, so you kept it there just to keep the... I
swear that's not why it's there.
He left it until the stalactites were impaling him.
How would you? Yeah, how'd you be able to get out of your bed? Would you have to like fall to the side?
Just squirt out.
Yeah.
Let's not talk about squirting right now.
That's disgusting.
Oh, that guy's glasses off for getting eye contact.
No, I'm one of those. I'm one of those guys now that when I take my glasses off, my eyes disappear.
And I like when he said last week when he takes his hat off and his glasses off, he goes instant Israeli.
Yeah, it's a hard look. I also remember in high school, Gwen Stefani being
that was a thing
for a while.
You're talking like the Tragic Kingdom album, the first.
I'm talking like when she was on stage with Sublime.
Don't recall.
Yeah.
Creeping into the Saved by the Bell days.
What year were you born, Rory?
82.
That's stupid. I wanted to have a negative comment there. That's all.
Yo, most reptilians were born in 1982.
I wanted to realize 82 genomes in their blood.
I'm realizing that Brian Bales is having a bad influence on you, Doc.
I thought it was funny. It's a formula that seems to be working.
Doc is impressionable.
I'm not very good at it, though. Yes, I'm very impressionable. You know how that goes.
Hey, did anyone have a dirty crush on Darlene from Roseanne?
Darlene.
I said it was dirty.
Dirty crush.
Like garage sale dirty?
Yeah, like...
Yeah, flea market. Flea
market. 10, yeah. I'll give you 5.
Becky was such a douche.
Yeah, she was mean.
Yeah, you just want
to. What was her name? Christina Applegate?
No, that's Married with Children, dude.
Married with Children.
Yes, I agree with that one.
Okay, thank you. Well, finally, for goodness sakes.
There was quite a few carrot peeling sessions after that.
Scent free.
And that's why Bales' hand is in a compression glove.
Yeah. No one else? Darlene? No one liked Darlene, huh?
No.
All you
Roseanne was kind of just a turnoff too, because you just hear that voice and that round cackle.
Yeah, cackle. You'd be afraid that if that was your mother, she'd end up doing it.
Oh,
take that poster down. Yeah,
I know why it's there.
Co-host questions.
Oh. Hey,
Rory's boring. Let's wrap this up.
Oh, these can't be boring answers.
These go on forever if we don't start now. We'd be talking about them.
All right, Rory, first car.
Oh, I am. All right. I got
dump truck.
Yeah, other than the dump truck.
Hot seat.
Prior to the dump truck, my dad was pretty cool. He found a 1964 Ford Thunderbird.
What?
And we could drive it. It ran. And he's like, cool car, huh? And it had like the original black leather interior, faded paint, you know, 390 in it. Said, yeah, that'd be great. And part of me paying my debt back, I had to sell that car. But in the process before that, we traded it for a 66, which was a little bit nicer because the 66 was a little shorter. But yeah, so after I sold the car to help pay back the debt, I got a 92 little Toyota pickup that had some 33-inch 1250 tires. I owned that for 6 months, and I ran over a ditch with it and flipped it and totaled it.
The first car stories never cease to amaze me.
And then I bought an 86 Toyota because I was a cheap SOB paying my dad back. And I thought I could take a 82 22R, put it in an 86. I asked for a 22RE. E's close enough. So I got to the truck and I clipped all the wires and I didn't mark what anything was, pulled the motor, put it in the 86, and then realized I had destroyed the whole electrical interface there and hot wire one at a time, went to go see what would turn on. And the only thing I couldn't get working was the alternator. I'm still not certain because there's only 3 different ways to hook it up and it kept burning up. So when I drive that little red truck around, I had a charged battery next to me inside the truck. I didn't drive at night. I prayed it didn't rain. And if I was going downhill, I turned the truck off and used the brakes as much as I could before I had to turn it back on to reset the machine. And then there was a short in the front by the horn. The horn was in the front. There was a short in my steering wheel. In Mountain Town, we got a lot of windy canyons to go through. Every left-hand turn, the horn turned on. So turning into high school, leaving high school, gas station, wherever I was, you know, through the canyon, people are thinking I'm honking at them. One day it ended up being stuck, so I pulled over, cut the wire for the horn. And then the last big thing with that truck was the drive shaft. And I was driving down the road and the whole truck, like, started vibrating, and then it would getting worse in like the back window, and those little trucks are right behind your head, and that thing is like thumping. Get to school, look under the car, nothing seems weird. Leave school, have my friend follow me, and this time it's really bad. And then once the vibration stops, I'm just coasting down the road, and I hear ting 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 ting, and this loud grinding noise. Pull over, my friend jumps out. Oh my gosh, there were sparks everywhere. What the hell is going to explode? And they look, and the drive shaft is just laying there on the ground. The bolts had vibrated away from the drum and was spinning on the axes, you know, tripling that and causing the whole truck to fall apart. Taught me a lot of lessons. I'll say that.
Hey, did any of these have sweet ass car seats?
Yeah. What was the car seat cover situation?
None. I ran au naturel.
God damn it.
Bareback.
Yeah.
Just throwing it out there for anyone listening, a good trick or prank to pull on somebody, if you can get those big zip ties, like the HVAC style ones, the big like riot cuffs, you put those on a drive shaft of like a truck or a van, so as they're going down the road it just goes keep tick, 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 tick. And then when they stop to see if they hear it, it stops, and then when they start driving again it just starts up again.
That's a
construction site classic.
Like, that's the equivalent of like the card in the spokes for an adult.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's nice. That's mean, but hilarious.
Yeah, well, you know, got to poke when you work with guys like that all the time. It goes back and forth.
All right, Rory, favorite toy as a kid?
Maybe
we should present these questions to the people that are on the show with us ahead of time.
Preparation?
Yeah. What age?
What came into your head when you say toy?
Preteen, before you were a teenager.
And my bicycle, you know, we got grounded, Dad would chain our bikes together so we couldn't use them. And we still tried to ride them, but, you know, the pedals would lock up and you just fall over and hurt yourself. And he thought it was funny.
Do you have a lot of siblings? Or
I have a older half-brother and half-sister. We don't get along.
What other kind of toys were you into? Were you a Lego guy or an action figure guy?
I had the little metal cars.
Hot Wheels?
Yeah, Hot Wheels. I had a bunch of those. And, you know, between bikes and horses.
I forgot about Hot Wheels and Micro Machines.
I like those, but we never got those.
Remember the commercials with the guy that talked fast?
Yeah.
Already.
Micro Machines. Oh, it's just memory lane. Like, damn.
That's all I had.
Micro Machines in a long time. Why don't they still make those? Can you buy them?
Micro Machines, I don't think you can. We can't buy anything at Toys R Us anymore.
There's no way they still sell Micro Machines. Some kid that looked like Ryan and had purple hair. He swallowed one and he never pooped it out. He never passed. So now he's the Micro Machine kid, and
he can smell a Micro Machine in 10 miles.
Anti-Micro Machine legislation is hot and heavy these days.
That's crazy. Yeah, eBay, you can totally get hooked up and get the whole set.
Wow.
You should get those and like resin them in the table and have like the whole collection in a coffee
table. Be the new river.
Yeah. The micro table.
$150 worth of epoxy.
More epoxy than car.
Favorite cartoon, Rory?
Ren and Stimpy. No question.
Ooh. Have you gone back and watched any of them? You have? And do you think they hold up?
Oh totally. They are great. Yeah. I love it when Ren loses his shit.
Some of those scenes where it goes into the ultra realistic, like when they zoom in on the nappy guy's veiny whatever, it's like, oh, God.
Exactly. Some decaying tooth.
Oh, yeah.
So you're like hardcore into Ren and Stimpy then, right?
They are great. I love it.
Can you give us an impression of either of them?
You idiot! Oh, Ren.
That was good. I had the video game for the Sega Genesis.
Oh, nice.
It's horrible.
Well, then they screwed it up too because the creator made a questionable series where Stimpy was attracted to Ren, and he kind of pushed that boundary, and I started it and he was destroying Ren and Stimpy, so I didn't finish it.
I don't know about this.
Yeah, what is it called?
Behind the Music, Ren and Stimpy.
That reminds me of the hidden innuendos in like cartoons from the 90s and probably from the 80s. The one I remember the most is that show that was on called Cow and Chicken. And they had this biker gang that rolled through. And the biker gang's name was the Carpet Munchers. And they would literally go into their house and chew on their carpet in their living room. But the innuendo is great.
Oh, my.
I don't know. That's not innuendo, dude. That's literal.
Yeah. No kidding.
That's boom. Right. There's no, that's, they're literally eating the carpet.
Yes, they were munching away.
I wonder if it matched the curtains.
Well, the carpet rider sounds a little weird, though.
Does it? All right, what was the next one? Your favorite Batman.
Okay.
Please tell me it's Affleck.
I've been hearing your guys' arguments, and I see them, and I understand them. Keaton broke the veneer, because Batman was a joke before that. It was this silly TV show.
It was a wonderful joke.
Bomb over your head, slapstick comedy. So with respects to Keaton, he started it, but I agree. Affleck, I like him as Batman.
The Batfleck.
Totally. That was sold. But the way that DC is doing their universe, now it's like Wonder Woman and her friend, which is great. That's fine. But I just want the plot to be a little thicker. Like, come on, let's make this good.
It seems it lacks substance.
Totally.
Like, I just, they seem to like go a little darker, but it just, it seems to lack substance. There's a lot of story that's missing.
I agree.
If you like Affleck as Batman, there's no helping you.
So Affleck is not a reptilian.
It's
Bruce Wayne's, because we're talking about Bruce Wayne.
Yes.
Yeah, he's still, can't you see in his face? He's not going to, no, dude, there's no Bruce Wayne there, dude. There's no Bruce Wayne there with that guy.
What did he have to change?
That guy's like Hollywood, like tanning salon beds and freaking like little glass margaritas with the umbrella. And that's that guy. Bruce Wayne, no, dude.
And that's why Affleck was perfect. He didn't have to change anything.
This makes me wonder, who do you think will be an upcoming Batman?
I don't want any more Batmans, though.
No,
dude.
Do you think we are in store for like Bieberman?
I hope so.
I was gonna say Matt Damon.
Bieberman.
I think Matt Damon's too old at this point.
I think he'd be the same age as Affleck.
Like who is a younger artist that's gonna end up being Batman? Justin like that Bieber. Stupid Machine Gun Kelly guy is gonna be Tommy Lee in the Motley Crue movie.
Right? Well, isn't Jamie Foxx going to be Punisher or Spawn or something coming up?
Really?
What?
Yeah, one of the two, Spawn or Punisher. Spawn. It's Spawn.
Well, Spawn, yeah. Because
Todd McFarlane.
Spawn was back. Yeah. Was black, yeah.
Justin Timberlake as Bruce Wayne.
I got my bat in a box.
It's going to be me.
I don't know. I don't know any young actors.
Yeah, same here.
How would I know about these people?
It's going to freaking happen, Doc.
I have no problem with it, but I'm going to be the old guy going there. Who is this guy? What's he do? I like this guy. And they're going to be like, oh, you don't like him. He's this.
The best two people that they picked for like superheroes was Wolverine and the Mesquite chick. Those
Mesquite?
Two.
Mesquite.
She a barbecue official.
Was she barbecue X-Men?
She's on that carpet muncher biker club.
I said Mystique.
No, I heard Mesquite.
Yeah, you said Mesquite. Everyone heard Mesquite. Because
what's your power? It tastes like barbecue.
I'm really smoky, and I usually do better on red meat than chicken because I'm kind of overpowering for white meat.
And I go well with a porter.
Roast beef.
It's going to be Bieber. It's going to be Bieber, man.
You think? I would like to see The Rock as Batman.
He's too old. He's already been Hercules.
Well, so he's going to be...
Batman got old.
He's going to be Captain Flash's evil nemesis. What's his name?
Captain who?
It's going to be the bad guy in Shazam.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
Is it Black Adam?
Yeah, that's it.
I did not know that.
So what about Daniel Radcliffe? He could be an okay Batman, you know?
Ooh, that maybe.
He'd be like itty-bitty Batman. Batman sample size.
Wait,
he's British though, right?
Yeah, baddie.
So he'd be Alfred.
Well, our Superman, Henry, what's his name?
Cavill.
He's British.
Is he?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Those Brits do really good American accents.
Yeah, they fool me every time.
Yeah. Because, yeah, the other way around, we're not that great.
Well, yeah, because Americans have dialects. Yeah, secular. Section, you know, they have dialects. You know, based on, no, it's hard for an American to pick up a non, like, regional, that's the word I'm looking for, a non-regional accent. They
keep using words like secular, of course.
The Brits have different regions, too.
No, but it's easier for a British person to speak a just generic American accent.
Well, that's the reptilian in them.
Because they're part reptile. They
do
can
not,
speak.
Do not put all British people in the reptilian camp. It's only the monarch.
Just the monarch? They don't sample the goods outside.
I'm not sure. They might. they might.
Well, what about Megan? Since she got married in, she's American. Is that just some American hamburger inside the British palace right now? Or
did you know that the royal family also has in their bloodline / genealogy, American presidents are connected to them?
Mm.
George Bush, even Obama, all of them are connected.
I can see the skin tone matching between the Queen and Obama. Makes perfect sense.
Totally.
I'm telling you, dude, it's actually documented on Ancestry.
Oh, well.
Like WebMD right there.
If it's on the internet, it's got to be true.
Yep. You guys don't know about Ancestry.com?
I do.
You do? You guys don't? I'm not talking gibberish here, dude. I'm telling you straight up. They're freaking connected, dude. You guys. You see, okay, here's the deal. If you don't believe it, look it up and you'll see that they're all
connected. And then you'll believe it
or not, but I'm telling you, all these people are connected. Therefore, there might be reptilians in America as well in positions of power.
But just like anything else, when you read something and keep researching it, like when you self-diagnose, like you read all the symptoms and stuff and you're like, yeah, I kind of feel a little itchy.
I definitely have that.
Dude, I do have worms in my poop.
You should go to a doctor right now. Like, no, as soon as this podcast is over, you should go get checked out if that's the case. Just for what that's worth.
We don't need a great segue to the next question.
Oh, yeah, here you go.
Do you have a shit story?
A what?
A shit story.
What would be a shit story?
E-boy likes to explain this question.
Have you ever had a situation where it was ultra embarrassing in a public setting or whatever in front of people? Close to people in a public bathroom where you, or not, it could have been walking around where you just completely had to go and you crapped yourself and be honest about it. You have to. Even Bales didn't admit to anything.
There are times in public restrooms, and if I got to do number two in an aggressive manner, it's time to release the Kraken. I'm sorry. It's a public bathroom. We got work to get done. So, but there's no shame in that. As far as accidents in myself in front of people, not that I can think of.
Yeah, there's about two or three.
The one I have is very serious and very heavy, and we could go there if you want, but it's not funny.
It's not funny?
No.
I want no part of that story.
All right.
Do you have a tale of someone else? Because I still hold to this, that Eloy's story was about somebody else and not about himself.
Okay, college.
No, I think Eloy's story was about himself, but he said it was about someone else.
It could be.
Dude, I was driving an airboat, I'm telling you. Was it the airboat one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Dude, trust me. I have control of the airboat. I could turn it around whenever the hell I want.
Look at my outfit.
But you didn't for that poor little Korean guy.
I didn't for the guy. He wasn't Korean. But
if he was Korean, I would have turned that boat around.
Yeah, you don't want Korean shit splattered all over it.
All that shrimp and rice.
All right, last question, since Doc added this to the list. I'll let Doc ask you zombie song.
No. Bales, you asked the zombie song question.
I don't know what it is.
Jeez.
Fine, I'll do it, but I don't want to hear any back talk from the peanut gallery. Okay, so you're in your favorite watering hole. You have unlimited jukebox in there, and you have one play on it. The zombies are breaking into the bar. What song are you going to put on? It's also the soundtrack.
AC/DC Thunderstruck.
That's our second AC/DC for that.
Let's do this.
It is?
I believe Eloy's was.
It was Hell's Bells.
It was Hell's Bells.
Shook you all night long.
Oh, she was a
sex machine while you're shooting all the zombies. She kept the motor clean. Yeah.
See, like the intro of Thunderstruck, I'd be drinking my beer while I was like,
yeah.
And I'd be like sensing something's wrong. Like, then thunder, and they're banging on the wall. And, you know,
yeah, actually, that's a good one.
I dig it.
Hopefully, I have a flamethrower handy because that would be great.
Whatever you like.
Yeah. What was yours, Doc?
Keep Yourself Alive by Queen.
Oh, that's right. That's a great one.
I don't remember this question.
Well, what's yours then?
What's yours then, Bales?
I don't remember what I said. I must have been
Pick another one. You're in the zombie apocalypse and you got to fight to survive.
Did this even make it into the last podcast?
I don't think it did.
No, you guys did the Stuck on an Island with the cassette player and CDs. And
yeah, the coconut bicycle.
But I like the observation about what if you're just 10 miles away from the resort.
Yeah, just right by sandals. There you are, eating your own poop, trying to make a radio out of coconuts.
Yeah, he walks by with a Kahlua bottle.
Yeah, you see a receipt wash up on shore for someone get the large nachos or two margaritas.
That was yesterday.
Come on, Bales, hit us with it. What would be your soundtrack in your zombie apocalypse movie? And you're gonna kick some butt. And you bust out, well, don't bust out the doors because they might come in. You're about to either travel by truck. It's sitting there with the keys inside. You have to kill some zombies, and it's time to kick it. What is your song?
So it's got to be a good rockin' tune.
I hope so.
Not necessarily.
All My Life by Foo Fighters.
Oh, goodness. Dude, why the? It's your choice.
All right. Sticky Sweet by Motley Crue. Is that what you want to hear, Eloy?
She's sticky sweet.
As the blood is like sticking to the walls, I mean, you want to hear from me.
I would respect that more, but not the
slice of your pie. Is that what gets your trousers hot? Yeah. Eloy? Oh.
or she's my cherry pie.
She goes down. Is it all female zombies?
Hell yeah, dude!
Shoot them!
Damn it! Fired up now.
No, dude, don't, please, not the food. That's gonna be your soundtrack of all the awesomeness in history, music wise, and you're gonna kill zombies using that crap.
Yeah, because it has that buildup, like Rory was saying, like when there's like breaking in, I'm like sitting there drinking my umbrella drink, whatever it is.
Something fruity.
Yeah, something fruity with a nice umbrella, maybe two.
Come on, Rock and Roll by Led Zeppelin. I mean, come on.
I'm not really that hardcore into Led Zeppelin.
Oh, so then you're into that freaking... Oh, okay, fine, dude. I'm going to accept it because that's your choice, but you totally ruined reality, dude. Please.
Could you picture yourself fending off the zombies to the tune of No Scrubs?
Mm.
That'd be our style.
Yeah. Well, what was yours, Ryan? I can't believe Bales.
Mine was Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, that's a good one.
And I got another sneer from Bales because he didn't approve.
To that, then what Bales is, Foo Fighters did, please pick another one, dude. Come on.
Double Queen, double AC/DC.
Another one bites the dust? You like that one?
Triple Queen.
Dude, this is
too obvious.
Damn it.
No, dude, please.
Last Dance by Diana Ross. Is that who did that? Diana Ross?
Actually, yeah. I like that. There's a just, yeah, I like that. That's kind of,
you don't change it. You got Eloy to agree. Don't change it.
I Will Survive by Gloria Gaynor. How's that one?
Dude, you're a rocker and you're doing this?
You're a rocker through and through. That's
Master of Puppets. I mean, what do you want from me?
Okay, I could deal with that, but it's just you ruined when you said Foo Fighters. It's like
people like the Foo Fighters.
How about Run to the Hills? Yeah, by Iron Maiden.
There you go.
Okay, but and you mean that, right?
Sure.
So we're really buddies, right?
I mean, I'm just trying to get in your pants right now. So you shut up.
Yeah,
that's disturbing.
Kinda.
Okay then.
Or some Snoop Dogg, I'd be okay with that too.
Ooh.
Hey, so I can't imagine TLC really is what you were listening to religiously in the 90s. So what were you listening to in the 90s?
Well, you know, because your CD album was a presentation. So if I opened my CD album up, you know, and you got the four slots right there to grab the CD. You know, I had Marilyn Manson on the front, but I never listened to it. It was just like, ooh, you got Marilyn. Yeah. It's Manson. Yeah. Listen, yeah. I never did. It was all the pop culture bull crap. It was sprinkled in with some Johnny Cash and, you know, roots from my dad leaking in through the shop.
So you were really bumping TLC.
I was. Boys to Men, All for One.
No, you weren't, dude. Are you serious?
Dave Matthews, Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Crap.
Yeah, no, a little bit of Nirvana, but Nirvana was a little too rough for me. You know,
What haircut were you rocking?
I used to dye my hair red.
Red?
Yeah.
But what kind of cut?
Oh, I just did nothing fancy.
Nope.
My town was so small, the look was the baseball cap.
What's important is that you're a rock and roller now, and we see that through your videos. Forget the past.
So no mohawk, no bowl cut.
Nah, baseball cap. Yep, small town. Few options. But like you guys mentioned, the pagers, we used to rock ours right on the bill of the cap right there. It's like it was in your face that you had a pager.
That's funny.
Wow.
That, mine had the neon light, the green one.
like miners.
Did you say Boys to Men was one of the tracks?
Yeah, man.
What's wrong with Boys to Men?
I'll make love to you just like you want me to. I'll stick it in a box.
There's nothing wrong with that.
So were you like rocking to Belle Biv DeVoe and
Poison?
Yeah.
My brother and sisters, they were doing that. Queensryche, Poison.
Thank you.
Oh, which Queensryche?
Empire.
Yes.
Yes, dude. Yes, now we're cooking.
And that was back when you could have your radio with the cassette player and listen to them broadcast out of Albuquerque, and you got your cassette ready to record the concert so you could listen to it again later with commercials.
Did your cassette player play CDs?
With the adapter, it did.
Yeah, with the adapter, exactly. But you had to be careful not to hit it too hard because that thing skipped.
That was janky, wasn't it?
Did it have bass boost?
It had to have bass boost.
Or the anti-skip button.
Anti-skip protection.
Those were requirements, man. We're not getting them at 7-Eleven.
Yeah, anti-skip protection and bass boost.
Totally.
And then
shuffle. And shuffle. That was the other function on there. Did anyone ever use that? Was anyone like, you know what? Of these 12 songs on this particular fill-in-the-blank CD,
I'm going to shuffle. My dad had a car stereo that could shuffle a cassette tape.
What?
Yeah, he hit shuffle, so you would hear it like fast forward and then stop and play.
Yeah, yeah.
Get done, rewind.
I remember that.
That is some impressive technology.
What kind of wizardry is this?
A Honda station wagon. Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Honda. Head of
yeah, because it would find where there's no music, and it'd stop, and it'd start playing, and you could press the... I remember that.
You know, a lot of thought goes into track list order, and you should respect the artist's wishes
how they want it presented. Yes, let it build.
God damn it.
That's true. I agree with that. You know, I can't believe I keep agreeing. I agree with that, but I don't know if he's joking or not, dude.
I'm not joking about this one.
Okay, well, I totally, 100% I'm with you on that. They created it this way, and one must go down that road and enjoy that journey. Yes.
So you're telling me TLC put so much thought into the order of their track list so that you could go straight from Waterfalls into Creep flawlessly and experience that emotional roller coaster.
They might not have personally, but someone at that record company did.
A reptilian.